Quick Quack Car Wash takes the drama out of keeping your car clean.
Let's wash the car.
Yay!
Don't spray the hose inside the car. Oh.
Our convenient wash packages make it easy to get your car soaked, scrubbed, and on your way. Protect your car from sun, rain, and pollen with a ceramic duct wash. And get our in-wash light show and an unbeatable clean.
Oh, the kids filled the gas tank with water.
Of course they did. Quick Quack Car Wash. Come in today and get 25% off any wash.
I've got this neighbor, Ned, who brags about having the best smart home. So, I showed him my Ecobee smart home. Turns out, Ecobee's a lot smarter, is easier to use, and saves money. Ecobee's the smartest choice I've ever made, except for my little Pomeranian.
Oh, yes. Oh, you are so cute. Aren't you my little pom-pom?
Sorry. So tell the Ned on your block about Ecobee. Just yell, "Get yourself a smarter home!" Visit Ecobee.com today.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
When the senses have...
Live in here, you'll probably notice that I still do not have a functioning microphone, but hey, that is what it is. We've been burning the candle on both ends here on the other end of things at Brushbeater Training and Consulting, but I'm laughing. I hope everybody out there had a wonderful 4th of July Independence Day week. I took some time off that was much needed for the family to get away, to kind of decompress for a while, enjoy the holidays, enjoy some things, and really build those memories. Because that is what it is really all about at the end of the day. You know, that is really what it is all about. But we're back in the saddle. I'm back in here, lock cock, ready to rock and get down to business. There is a heck of a lot to cover. There's a lot of things that is going on in the world right now that we're going to be talking about, including the militant left on the march now in France. We're going to be breaking down the French elections and what has now happened like clockwork, very predictable, very, very predictable how they are now going after Marine Le Pen. They are going after the French nationalist leader, Marine Le Pen, for allegedly having campaign finance improprieties back in 2022. And we're going to be breaking that down in this episode. We're going to be breaking down the French elections. We're going to be breaking down the United Kingdom elections. I think Britain is really on the ropes. They're in a hell of a lot of trouble. It is a dire predicament. I think France, ironically enough, is in a much better position right now than the UK is. There's a lot of improper, but that's not a powerful enough word. I'm going to say that there's a lot of nefarious things that are coming out of these elections. And I think that it gives us a very good look at what is laying ahead in the future for the United States in the very near future coming up in November. And we're going to be breaking a lot of that down in this episode. Got some more rifle craft stuff that we're going to be talking about, because the response from the last episode where I was breaking down a lot of knowledge was really, really strong. And, you know, I'm going to be sharing some of that as well, as night vision, thermal. We're going to be having a little bit of a conversation on that as well. Of course, quick shout out to the show sponsors, brushbeatergold.com. We know that the world is looking kind of ugly. Things are looking kind of ugly financially. BRICS is certainly on the rise. This French election is playing right into the hands of that. I'm going to be talking about that as well. But you really need to be looking ahead financially in mitigating the amount of damage that a repatriation of the dollar could potentially do to your retirement savings. Brushbeatergold.com, alongside our partners, Genesis Gold Group, have the answer, and we can help you get on a good path for your retirement and securing that with gold-backed IRA. The answer is always going to be gold. You can find out a lot more details, brushbeatergold.com. Of course, brushbeaterbeef.com. A lot of you have reached out and said, hey, you know, we want a freeze-dried, strictly protein source of really good beef, by the way. USDA, grade A, prime beef. We're talking steak cuts. We're talking prime rib. You know, you name it. We've got it. And I think that this is a really genius product out there. And, you know, hey, I'm telling y'all, I've tried the stuff. It is awesome. I think it is a genius idea. And I'm never going to push a product that I don't use personally. I think this is a really good way to put away a lot of protein on top of all your other freeze-dried food preparations. You know, a lot of the bulk storage stuff is really awesome, but it's also very carb-heavy, very salt-heavy, kind of designed to keep those calories in there, but you need that protein. Brushbeaterbeef.com has got your source. Last, certainly not least, brushbeaterstore.com. I'm actually in the store right now. Been working, getting the studio set up, been doing some work, been filling a lot of your orders out there. We've got a current special going on AR-152 radios, which are my go-to for building those data terminals. Just like in the best-selling book, The Gorilla's Guide to the Baofeng Radio, ignore all of the imitations out there. Oh, and by the way, a little snapshot in the future, I've got some of those imitation books on the way. And I'm going to be doing a video breakdown of just what kind of trash you are getting from those knockoffs. And I have an answer, folks. I have an answer. If we buy, let's say, a few of them in mass and you start flooding Amazon with these, since Amazon wants to take their sweet time and they don't want to respect people's intellectual property rights, and they want to do that, well, you know what? We can instigate Operation Chaos on them. We can fight fire with fire. Buy those knockoff books, you send them back to them. They have to sit there on those copies. And then it won't be long before it says, this is a frequently returned item. And that's going to torpedo any other well-meaning folks out there who actually want to get the genuine book, who want to get the Gorilla's Guide to the Baofeng Radio. You're going to save them that pain. You're going to get them the real, genuine product, because that's how you use Amazon's algorithm against them, okay? But anyway, it's not about that. Brushbeaterstore.com, we're going head-to-head with Amazon, and I promise you my shipping times are going to be faster than what you're going to get from Prime. Bar none, okay? Bar none. Guys are ordering night vision from me today. They reached out on Twitter. They were like, one guy emailed me and said, holy crap. I've been in the store. Literally, I have been in the store since this morning. We've been packing up orders as you have been bringing them in. I have packed up over 40 orders today. Okay. Me, personally. That's what we're doing, right? Me and the family in here getting all of you squared away. That's what we do. That's my mission. And hey, you know, if you spend more than $100 with me, you're getting free shipping, right? You're getting free shipping. And yes, I don't advertise anything on my store as being in stock if I can't put my hands on it here in the store. Okay. That's my promise to you. We're not like some of these companies out there where, you know, you order something from them and you might get it a couple months from now because they're waiting on enough orders. They want your money up front and then they go and they order the product. Meanwhile, they are banking on your money, right? That's out of your pocket. You don't get the product. That's not how we operate. That's not how BrushBeater.store operates. That is not how I operate. That is not how we treat our community and our own. Anyway, it gets me heated. It gets me heated. In case anybody didn't know, it gets me heated when I hear from people in our community who say, you know, hey, I ordered night vision from this other company out there. I should have ordered it from you because I ordered it from another company out there and they took my money. And 3 months later, I still didn't have a product in hand, you know. Stuff like that. I'm here to take care of you. All right. I am here to take care of you. And y'all have took care of me. Okay. This community has been so incredible to me and given me so much. And this is my way of giving back. I live to serve. Okay. I live to serve and I live to serve our Patriot community. So anyway, that is BrushBeater.store. BrushBeater.store for everything that you might need. We got it over there. Freeze-dried food. We got all the field manuals over there. Genuine copies of everything. All right. It's none of that knockoff Amazon bullshit. Right. We got night vision. We've got thermal. We've got communications gear. We're going to have the Zygu X6200. The best price on the market, by the way. The best price on the market. That is going to be in by the end of the week. By the end of the week. We're going to be the first people to have it here in the United States. We're beating everybody else. All right, we're beating everybody else. Zygu came to me, by the way. They came to me because of our sales numbers, because of the credibility that this community has been able to build just by our sales figures. And we've got those Zygu X6200s now. Latest and greatest, did a video that is up on Twitter, the pre-production sample that I got in hand. Beautiful radio, does a lot of really awesome stuff, got on the air with it, made several contacts with it, you know, hey, and I think that this is going to be a very worthy addition to a lot of your arsenals out there. But we're going to be talking about that when I get those in. You can sign up for the back in stock notifications. I know this first run that I've got coming in, I've got a whole pallet of them on order. Like I said, they're going to be here at the end of the week. I know that they're going to go really quick. Hey, have no fear. As soon as they're gone, hey, you know, I am going to be placed in order for the next one as soon as these show up. All right. As soon as these show up and I QC them, I'm placing the next order for them just so that we'll be able to keep a constant supply of them coming in. That's my promise to you. And with that said, 12 minutes into this show, let's get going, folks. So how about those European elections? Goodness gracious. Talk about some strange, strange things. Now, with the United Kingdom, you know, Keir Starmer is now the prime minister. He is a far, far leftist, much in the vein of Jeremy Corbyn. And I don't know, you know, how much some of you out there are on the up and up regarding British politics, but Jeremy Corbyn essentially is their answer to Bernie Sanders. And Keir Starmer is very much in that same vein with a difference, with one very serious difference. Jeremy Corbyn I think he's out of politics now. I could be wrong about that. I don't follow British politics intimately. But I do know quite a bit about it. He is, I think that he's retired, though. I think that the Labour Party, which is, you know, Britain's equivalent to the Democrat Party, I think that he's out of politics. But anyway, with that said, Jeremy Corbyn was very, very staunchly supportive of Palestine and Palestinians. And I think that that's part of the reason that he was unelectable to any major office was because of that stance. Because the British behind the scenes ruling hand knew that that was largely unpalatable. And that there's a long history with this, by the way. Very, very long history with this. And, you know, going all the way back to the British Israelism and British Palestine mandate, it goes back a long, long way. And so he had reached essentially a political dead end, much like Bernie Sanders, much like several other prominent left wing politicians that kind of plateaued. And that was as far as they're going to go. But Keir Starmer is married to a Jewish woman and is very outspoken in his support of secular Israelism, kind of the more liberal end of Israeli politics. And he's very intimately intertwined with it, if you will. And so for that reason, he was able to kind of ride the fence with the radical Islamicists, because the left wing in Britain caters to them. Meanwhile, also giving lip service to British support of Israeli policies. Politically, this put him in a very strong position, and it's kind of the best of all worlds. You still have someone who is catering to the invaders into Britain, the Islamicization of Britain, which is occurring. You have somebody who's very complicit in that, who is a quisling in that. And meanwhile, he is very palatable to the British aristocracy, which has strong ties with the Israeli hierarchy as well. Historically, has very strong ties with them. So he becomes a very natural fit in that. Now, how long will he be in this role? You know, it's anybody's guess. Liz Truss was obviously not there very long. Rishi Sunak, who was the outgoing conservative prime minister, was not very long in office as well. He lasted longer than Liz Truss, but he ultimately didn't last very long, because when you have the ruling hand behind the scenes, you know, however you want to break that down, you know, the functionaries of the British monarchy, you know, however you rationalize that, and I'm not an expert on those things, and I'm not necessarily going to comment on that directly. You know, I have my theories about it all, but it, you know, I'm only going to speak in what I can point to in black and white. But they have a military-industrial complex, much like the United States, very intertwined in that, and the policy-making decisions for the continuity of governance in Britain. The real continuity of governance in external policies, particularly with regard to NATO and Middle Eastern policy, those aren't going to change. And so that's why this man has been put in the position that he is in. Now, how long will he be there? That's anybody's guess. Britain's problems are only beginning, and they are going to worsen. The day of his inauguration, they immediately began bringing in more boats of invaders into the country, and unabated. And he has now instituted a policy of releasing those very same people who are incarcerated, much like the Democrats have done here with no bail and you know, cashless bail. And what has that done? That has universally across the board raised criminality rates in all of our major jurisdictions. And in Britain, this is going to do the same. Okay. Exact same results. It's not going to be any different. Okay. No different. So in Britain, you know, I feel for our British brothers across the pond, you know, and the reality is too, is that for a lot of people out there saying that, you know, well, they got what they voted for. They didn't all vote for this. Okay. They didn't all vote for this. And I'm not so certain looking at these elections, I'm not so certain that there was a lot of questionable stuff coming out of it. You know, all the same election issues that we have here in the United States, they had there. They are not absent from any of these. So, you know, I think that the hope for real reform may be coming, but it might be too little too late. Of course, you know, Britons, especially the stiff upper lip Britons will say, it's never say die. And I admire that attitude. And you know, I know the 4th of July, you know, a lot of people love waving the American flag and it's all this stuff. But, you know, the spirit of 1776, of course, was against tyranny. And that is the spirit that I feel that Britons in 2024 feel. We feel like, you know, interestingly enough, as a little aside, when I worked with the British in Afghanistan, and I really enjoyed them, by the way, I really enjoyed the British working with them. They were very, very professional. Their military was great. They had a very high morale. They were awesome guys to work with. And I really, really enjoyed it. I can't say enough good things about them. And I enjoy British culture. You know, I think they're great people. And interestingly enough, the most popular movie among them, and a lot of you are going to laugh at this, the most popular movie among a lot of the British soldiers that I hung out with and worked with was The Patriot. They loved The Patriot. And, you know, I always grin when I think about that they enjoyed The Patriot. They loved The Patriot so much. They loved Mel Gibson and they loved the movie. And I always thought that on one hand, that was kind of odd, you know, but on another, it's not, because they're in a similar boat. You know, when you distill down The Patriot, it's about warriordom, warrior to warrior. You know, it's a classic tale, and we could set that tale, the belligerence, in any other war, and that movie would still work. You know, it would still work. It has a distinctly American flavor to it for obvious reasons, but it would still work. It is an epic, and it is an origin tale. You know, it is the best kind of epic because it is an origin tale. You know, much like King Arthur to the Britons, or Beowulf to Northern Europeans. You know, or the Iliad and the Odyssey to Mediterranean peoples, you know, in the Aeneid, you know, obviously the Romanized version, the Aeneid. But Britons loved Patriot, and they feel that now, you know, they feel that. And British patriotism and the Patriots that are in Britain, they got a real fight ahead of them, you know, a real, very, very real fight. And I feel for them. I feel for them because they are losing their country before their very eyes. But we are too. We are too. Great replacement's real. They have admitted that. That's real. It's a thing. The left admits it. And it is readily on display. It's on display here in the United States. It's on display all over Europe. And it is a major role in these elections. If you go just across the English Channel to France, you'll see it. You will see it. The interviews, the man on the street interviews they did with your run-of-the-mill French citizens in France. Overwhelming support for Marine Le Pen. Overwhelming support for French nationalism. Overwhelming support for mass deportations of these people who have no right to be in the countries in which they are in. None whatsoever. But they have been brought in. They have been brought in. They have been imported by a militant left that readily supports them, that readily supports the policies that are bringing them in. This is what they want. This is what they voted for on the left. It is a virus of the mind. You have to understand this. Militant leftism is a virus of the mind, much like rabies. And for that, there is no cure. None. But since we brought up France, we will switch gears. We will shift focus just a bit. And let's talk about the French elections. So they had three rounds of voting. And in typical French fashion, you have the French Nationalist Party and the centrist candidates, of which Macron is part and parcel of. This is how he wrangled himself to power. Their candidates dropped out and sided with the militant left, with the communist, with the anarchist parties, in order to defeat Marine Le Pen and their French Nationalist Party. Now, it's interesting because the French Nationalists received more votes than any of the other parties combined, and yet, and we have the electoral map. Okay, the electoral map is out there with just a handful of cities, which is kind of the same way it breaks down in the United States. With just a handful of cities, France goes not just left, but militant left, communist left. And Macron, who aligned with these people, rather than standing up for country, for nation, being a true nationalist, being a patriot, being a countryman, being a statesman, rather than do that, he decided to side with the communists because this is what his globalist overlords told him. See, this is a preview. This is a preview to November. This is a preview to the lead up to November. And I'm going to get there. Just hang tight.
Whether you're into blowout backyard bashes or simple soirees al fresco, Uni is here to fire up your summer entertaining plans with the brand new Coda 2 Max gas-powered pizza oven. It sports a massive 24-inch cooking area, and it's got two independently controlled temperature zones. That means you can roast a chicken on one side while baking a hot, crispy, cheesy New York-style pizza on the other. You can even do three 10-inch pizzas at once while monitoring temperatures via the Uni app on your smartphone. Because the Coda 2 Max isn't just an oven, it's your summer party co-pilot. Make your summer an Uni Coda 2 Max summer. Learn more at uni.com. That's O-O-N-I.com.
Macron and his cronies would rather side with communists than stand up for their nation. Think about that. Macron is a liberal. By the way, I've told you on this program, I have long since said that the liberals in America aren't communists. There's a three-way dance that's going on. The liberals are currently in control of the halls of power, the levers of power of the government, by the way. And they will continue to be so, right? That's not going to change, and an election's not going to change that. Not overnight. Not overnight it won't. But the liberals are in charge. They've been in charge. And the same is true. These are globalists. They believe in a global society. They believe in NATO's hegemony. They believe in the promotion of the LGBTQ agenda, which is quickly devolving to pedophilia. This is what these people believe. This is what they truly believe. And so with that said, they would rather align themselves with communists who hate them. They hate them as much as they hate you and I. But these people are so naive that they believe that they can control them. This is a preview of November, folks. This is a preview of the Democrat National Convention in more ways than one. Immediately, the leftist faction leader in France called for Macron's resignation immediately upon victory. And immediately Antifa in France, the historical forebears of Antifa, by the way, the original Antifa, one of the original Antifas, branches of Antifa, Communist International. Of course, we could go back to the Jacobins, the proto-communists, Fabian Society. They immediately began rioting in the streets, burning down sections of Paris. Now, I will remind you, most of you probably have already forgotten about Notre Dame. You forgot that Notre Dame was arson. One of the oldest churches. And by the way, this is the first time this has happened. The altar of Notre Dame was desecrated during the French Revolution by the Jacobins, and they rechristened it the Temple of Reason. By the way, you should go back and look at that.
Yeah, I got an Ecobee smart home, and nosy Ned next door comes over to see. I told him about Ecobee. Turns out Ecobee's a lot smarter than his better-known smart home. I told him, Ned, get yourself a smarter home. Visit ecobee.com today.
Do what thou wilt. And all that jazz. But this is happening again. And the militant left, by the way, and an avowed Antifa member who is a domestic terrorist in France. He's deemed a threat by GIGN as being a threat to the French government, has been now elected as one of their ministers of parliament. And they immediately call for Macron's resignation. Now, we'll see where Macron goes. I think, personally, his days may be numbered. We will see. But the leader of the militant left, I think his name is Mélenchon. He is aligned with Palestine, and he is aligned with the Russians. Think about that. Think about this. The militant left leader is aligned with Russia. This is an election. And RT, the Russian government, now got out there immediately. They were spinning it as a victory, right? Propaganda victory. This is a victory for the Russians. The French elections are a victory for the Russians. The British elections probably are as well. I haven't seen where they've spun that one. But if they can spin it, they're going to spin it. The larger point here is that despite the NATO crowd, which are just a bunch of idiots from Washington, D.C., they couldn't find their ass with both hands. These people are running your intelligence agencies, folks. They're dumb. They're not smart. And they are so naive in their own beliefs, that they're willing to sell out their country for what they think is short-term gain just to spite you and I. That's what they're doing. That's what these people are doing. And that's what they're going to do once more in November. So, it is a preview. And it is what I think is shaping up now with the election here domestically. So it's a preview on multiple levels. The Russians are going to take advantage of it, right? Our own intelligence apparatus, our own governmental apparatus would rather align with communists who hate them, who actually hate them and are at war with them, and want to end them. And we're going to see that. Democrat National Convention, we're going to see this. Okay. It's coming. Better get ready. But they would rather align with them to thumb their nose in my face, in your face, than they will to even lift a finger to save their own country. because on a very visceral level, this is an admission of a lie. And a lie that they've been perpetuating all along. And this is why they're so angry with Joe Biden right now. Because Joe Biden is Pinocchio. The lie is so big, you can't hide it. You can't hide his cognitive decline. You can't hide the fact that he has been literally propped up by the media all these years. All these years. And they've been telling us to our faces that what is not. There's no way this must be a conspiracy theory. There is no, absolutely no way that this man is in cognitive decline. That's conspiracy theory. And you are a liar. We are going to put you in prison no matter what. Should you even dare to think the wrong thing. And they're doing this. This is a pattern that they have followed part and parcel to the T. They've followed the script. Bolsonaro in Brazil, where is he? He's facing life in prison. Corruption charges. His political opponent, Lula, who was convicted, ironically enough, he was convicted of corruption. He's the one who is now prosecuting his political rival. In an election, by the way, that was highly fraudulent. France. You know, of course, we have our political struggles here, trial after trial after trial, right? Just keep trying them again and again and again until you get the desired result, because that's exactly what they're doing. France, they're doing this now with Marine Le Pen. This is coming from APnews.com. French far-right leader, Marine Le Pen. It's far-right, by the way, you know, with the Associated Press. This is, if you're anything other than approved, liberal, look down your nose to everyone, you're far right leader. When they say that, what they mean is a visceral attack on you and I. Far right leader, far right, far right. Obviously ignorant, obviously the bastion of the great unwashed. How could they ever challenge us? Far right. Right, far right. You'll never hear them say far left. Never. You'll never hear that. But far right leader Marine Le Pen is investigated over alleged illicit financing in 2022 vote. Because what they want to do is imprison anyone who would dare challenge the system. Anybody who would dare challenge the system and stand up for nationalism and stand up for their country and for their people. Oh, we cannot have this. Oh, no, no way. And so the story goes on. The Paris prosecutor's office said on Tuesday it opened a preliminary investigation last week. Yeah, sure. Okay. But they're only announcing this today. How nice of them, how magnanimous of them to wait until after the elections. Of course, I'm sure they probably knew what the outcome was going to be. There is no investigation that's been announced into the looting and rioting in Paris. There's no investigation being unleashed on people who are human trafficking third worlders, invaders into France. But yet, we're worried about illicit financing. The office told the Associated Press the judicial probe opened July 2nd into allegations of accepting a financial loan, misappropriation of property, fraud, and forgery. It did not give details. Of course they did not. Of course they did not. Because probably much of the evidence is either non-existent or it was fabricated. I'll just go on and say it. This goes on. There's no details here, but of course the article goes on for character assassination. Her far-right National Rally Party previously was singled out for exaggerating expenses on campaign items used by candidates in the 2012 legislative elections. The Court of Cassation, rejected the party's appeal, and it was fine. Well, of course they did, because they were guilty of being the contrarian party. They were guilty of standing up for their country. They're guilty of standing up to globalism. That's what happened here. That's the story. Okay, plain and simple. But this is a preview of things to come. This is a preview of the world that will be coming to your doorstep this fall. And this is yet another example of them siding with communists because they naively believe that they can control them. And meanwhile, as things move further and further to the left, and our countries continue to burn, and our cultures continue to rot and be destroyed and undermined at every turn, we are yet reminded that we have not suffered enough. Our people have not suffered enough. Our countries have not suffered enough. And what is it going to take? Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about some praxis, because everybody loves praxis, things that we can do in the practical world. So, you know, we've talked about how things are bad. Let's talk about what we can do to start the rebuild. And, you know, I had a rather interesting conversation on Twitter a couple of nights ago. Unexpectedly, it was kind of out of the blue, and a number of people chimed in, and it really productive, by the way. It's really, really productive. Kind of rare, one of those rare times that social media is actually productive and good. And we were having an interesting conversation, and Jesse Kelly jumped in, and you know, which I always welcome his input. You know, Jesse Kelly, awesome guy. I think one of the best radio show hosts that's out there now, a genuine guy. You know, stand-up guy, former Marine, you know, well, there's no such thing as a former Marine, but Marine veteran. And in case some of y'all didn't know, he doesn't make a big deal out of that. But you know, he of course chimed in. It's always welcome to get Brother Jesse's input on things. And we were talking about rifle craft. And one of the questions that came up, so we were talking about the 308, you know, going kind of heavier, the AR-10 platform, the G3 platform, FALs, so on and so forth, battle rifles, essentially, and, you know, kind of going in that direction. And, you know, I gave the input, there's a strong case to be made for the AR-10 platform. One that's properly built. And I talked about some of my experiences with it. You know, I think the M110 was not really well executed. There were some design flaws in there with it. And Knights Armament was kind of loath at first to really admit that there was some problems with it. And some of it wasn't on Knights Armament. A lot of it was, some of it wasn't. They did fix some of those issues with the M10 or the M110A1, but you know, still the, you know, some of the damage, I think, to the weapon system's credibility was done. And the AR-10 has kind of had a checkered past in civilian spaces, to say the least. One of the issues with it has been that there's really no, until probably the past decade, there really hasn't been a set standard. You had the Rock River standard, you had the DPMS standard, which kind of became the more broad, like SR-25 pattern. That's the one that ended up winning out. Of course, you had Armalite's pattern, which is kind of non-existent now. You know, but you had all these different, you know, small nuances with the design, and nothing was really dress right dress or interchangeable with one another. But that's not really the point. The point is that this question of engagement gap, And so Jesse's interjection to it, which is really important, good takeaway there, is that, you know, you need to be able to accurately engage to 1,000 meters. I want to give some context to that statement, because my reply to him is that a lot of people are having that conversation, but I want to give some clarification as to why, because a lot of people out there don't really know why. There's a lot of context, and there's a lot of context that's missing in civilian rifle craft conversations. Because especially if you're not a former, you know, combat arms guy with significant time overseas, you know, done some HUA schools, you know, as we used to call it, you know, and you haven't served in, you know, the designated marksman or a sniper's role, a lot's going to be lost in translation. And even then, there's a lot of context, right? Because there was an era, you know, early on, you know, 06, 07, where, you know, we were using M14s fitted with loophole 10 power scopes. And that's what was serving as designated marksman's rifles. And that's what we were doing, you know. And then in, you know, that following year, the EBR really, the enhanced battle rifle kit really came into play. And, you know, and all of it had to do with increasing lethality, but also increasing lethality over a longer range. The whole conversation about the 1,000 meter stuff is coming out of Ukraine. And I want to preface this by saying, before I don't want to go too long into this conversation, but I want to say that, you know, we have this real problem of wanting to prepare for the last war. Like we prepare for the next war based on lessons learned from the last war. But the problem is that the last war isn't usually a direct correlation, or maybe any correlation at all, to the realities of the next war, right? Perfect example, coming out of World War II, at least in American minds and in NATO minds, the M1 Garand was the pinnacle of combat prowess in the individual infantryman's hands. It was, you know, a semi-automatic that was fielded at the individual infantryman level, and that was a much better delivery of firepower than anything else on the battlefield that was used by either the Japanese or the Germans. And so when everybody else was using bolt guns, it's not to say that they didn't have semi-automatics. Every one of the belligerent countries in World War II did. It was just that they didn't see an advantage in the increased cost and fielding those weapons over a bolt-action weapon, because they saw the traditional views of fire and maneuver as, you know, the role of the machine gun supplanted the need for a semi-automatic rifle in terms of infantry fire and maneuver. Well, all that got turned on its head in the realities of the Eastern Front, and America didn't really pay close attention to those lessons. There were some movers and shakers that kind of thought about it and paid lip service to it, but we didn't take it seriously. And so we, you know, we had the M1 and the M2 carbine that kind of played that Sturmgewehr role, that assault weapon role, but they weren't really, they didn't really get the job done in that engagement gap, like what we wanted. And Korea was the proving ground for that. Korea was where the M1 Garand, despite the fact that it's a wonderful weapons platform, very lethal, but it when you have a human wave assault coming at you into the mountains of Korea, the realities of fighting in Korea, the M1 Garand fell short. And, you know, when you look at both the North Korean and the Chinese individual infantrymen's loadout, they were primarily using PPSH 41s, which is a submachine gun, right? It's a Soviet designed submachine gun that fires a 7.62 by 25 tuck rev. So they were able to deliver a high volume of firepower along with, a bazooka type weapon, like RPG type weapon that they would have. And so they made effective use of grenadiers as well as a high volume of firepower in between reloads. And so the individual infantryman in America, you know, American infantryman, wasn't able to compete with that. And so while we eventually won because the sheer will, skill, and determination of the American fighting man, you know, or at least we were able to fight it to a draw, we would have won. Had MacArthur stayed, we would have won that war and should have won. But that's neither here nor there. That's another conversation for another day. The commies won out on that one. But that is a direct correlation, right? We prepared for the next war by looking back at the previous war, and that failed us, okay? That failed us, and that learning curve hurt. But when we went into Vietnam, we learned those lessons. And believe me, those lessons were not lost on Europe either. That led to the rapid adoption of other weapon systems, the FAL and the G3 being among them. Well, that brings us to the present. This idea of the engagement gap is really prevalent in Ukraine. But when you look at the operating environment of Ukraine, unless you're living in Nebraska or Kansas, we don't really fight like that. And, you know, here in the Southeast, maybe parts of the Pacific Northwest, I'd say, you know, like west of the Cascades, that's more of a intermediate cartridge fight there. That's more of a 5.56, 7.62 by 39 type fight there. You're not getting those 1,000-meter shots. The whole idea of this 1,000-meter, you know, mythical 1,000-meter range is coming out of the thinking that I need to outrange my opponent, right? I need to outrange their weapons platform. Because what you probably didn't know, because it hasn't been covered very well in the gun press out there, because the gun press is designed to sell you stuff, by the way. It's not designed to actually talk about things. It's not designed to actually, discuss real topics. It's just there to sell you bullshit. But I digress. Some of it's all right. Some of it's, there's been some good things. Being partly facetious, but I'm kind of not. The point is, though, is that it's ignoring certain realities. And one of those realities is that the proliferation of 6mm caliber weapons, this has been something that's been going on for a while now. The 6.5 Grendel, which has been adopted in Serbia, and, you know, I know for a fact it's been adopted there. They've played with this. In Russia, adopting the round, that was why 6.5 Grendel, for a short amount of time, you'd actually get it made by Wolf before the arms embargo against Russia. You could actually get this in hand. So there's a lot of takeaways there from this. But the point is that we've been looking for a round that goes further with more punching power than what's currently, you know, in the inventory. And this has led to, the 277 SIG Fury, which is, you know, it as the 6.8 by 51, which I don't think is going to have a very long lifespan for a lot of reasons. The barrel life is abysmal on it. It's basically going to last one firefight. It's a very heavy weapon system for what it is. You're just not going to see widespread adoption of this thing. I don't care what Department of Defense says, magic fairy dust. No, the logistics don't work out for this for a lot of reasons. So with that said, getting back to the conversation, you need to look very hard at your operating environment. Okay, 1,000-meter shots are extremely rare in the Southeast. And so do I think that you need to engage that far? No. Let's be realistic. Now, 500 meters, yeah, you probably do need to be looking at 500 meters. And I want to caveat that with saying that inside that 500 meter gap, right? In the scout course, you know, we go to 450 generally. If we can go further, we will. Here at my range, here in North Carolina, we go to 450 meters. But the reason we do that is you are inside of danger close range for indirect fire, meaning artillery. And that is the reason that we train for that. And I give a whole block of instruction on it, give context. In Chechnya, this was, they had another term for it, but it was hugging the Russian forces when they were hot and heavy in the Chechen War. They knew that, because a lot of these guys early on were veterans of Afghanistan, they knew that the Russians were not going to call in artillery within danger close range. Took a little bit more time, or they were going to call it in, but it took a little bit more time to get rounds on target. So for that reason, they would get very close to them, very close, within that danger close range. And so I think of things in the opposite. I want to have a massive amount of carried energy within 500 meters, right? 7.62 by 39 can certainly do it. 5.56 and its heavier loadings, as I look over at a AR mag that I have sitting here with 77 grain, performs wonderfully to 500 meters. Does actually quite well. Now, is it a one-shot showstopper? No. And a lot of people get hung up on the body armor question. I don't get hung up on that because I've seen people with body armor get shot. I've seen people with body armor. I saw one guy in particular with body armor on, with IBA on, get shot three times with 7.62 by 54. Now, none of those rounds went through, but he went home. And when I mean home, he went out of theater. He got medevaced. He went to Lonsul. He was done, and his deployment was done after that because of the internal damage that happened to him. So I love it when the gun geeks online who don't know shit about anything, because they've never seen somebody get shot, let alone fired shots in anger. All they know is how to regurgitate shit that they saw on YouTube by people even stupider than they are. So, whatever. But ballistic gel only really tells you part of the equation. Oh, it stopped the round. Yeah, okay, maybe it did, but the carried energy still went through that guy. He still broke ribs, still crushed his sternum, still collapsed a lung, still gave him flail chest, could still kill the guy. I've seen it, folks. I'm telling you. But there's other reasons for that. So 7.62 by 51, something that has a lot of energy. If you're a big boy, if you're man enough to carry it, okay? You got to be a big boy to carry that weapon. No ifs, ands, or buts. You got to put in the cardio. You got to put in the time on the kettlebells. You got to, all right? But if you can carry that thing, and a lot of us have, you can hump that. You can hump the ammo loadout, 120 rounds. You man up. You're going to be able to deliver a crushing amount of firepower through intermediate barriers. And this is why for a certain amount of time, between probably, I'd say, 2010, it may be in 2009. I know the Marine Corps was experimenting with Mark 318, which was their barrier blind ammo. The Army was doing stuff too. I don't remember the nomenclature on it, but, we were experimenting with a lot of these rounds, not for long-range engagements, but for intermediate barrier penetration, for the realities of combat within, we'll say, 400 meters. Could extend that to 500, but we'll say 400 meters. That's the reason for that. That's the reason that we were fielding, all the way back in, 06, 07, and really prior to that, that's when I came in the Army. But that's why we were fielding M14s, because we needed that firepower. And we did not yet have an AR-10 or M110 type weapon system in the inventory. We just didn't have it. But we did have a lot of M14s, so we began fielding those. and upgrading them first with, scopes. You know, we had a lot of 10 power loopholes in the inventory, and so you start mounting those on them. You know, and then later going upgraded with the Troy, or Sage, rather, the enhanced battle rifle stocks, which I always felt were kind of kludgy, but it was what it was, right? So there's definitely an argument to be made. The realities of combat, intermediate barriers to include vehicles, that 7.62x51 is just, I mean, that is the powerhouse. And so I think when you're putting your rifleman squad together, there's a strong case to be made for a 7.62x51 gun in, you know, that 13.7 to 16 inch barrel length, you know, still keeping it compact, light enough to be carried, and a solid optics mounting platform, you know, to where you can run something like an ACOG on it. And this is exactly what the British did with the L126, or L129 rifle system that they fielded in Afghanistan. This is literally exactly what they did, and that was built by Lewis Machine and Tool. Great weapon system, and you know, once you cut some of the extra bulk off the handguard, you ended up with a real good weapon. Great success on that thing in Afghanistan. They loved that rifle. The British loved it. We loved the idea of it. It was awesome, and it ran really well. That rifle just ran and ran and ran, and it delivered. Okay, it delivered performance. And so I think having a good 308 calibered weapon like that for that engagement gap of 500 meters with a prismatic optic on it keeps it nice and compact. You're not adding a lot of weight and bulk to that weapon because 308 can get heavy in a hurry. All right, AR-10s can get heavy in a hurry. FALs get heavy in a hurry. G3s damn sure get heavy in a hurry, right? Keep them light. Keep them as light as possible, as light as can be. Keep it tight, and you're going to have that crushing firepower. I'm going to be writing a much longer piece on this that I'm really looking forward to getting out there. Yeah, that is going to be in the forthcoming Guerrilla Dispatch Volume 3. And I've got several brand new articles. You know, Guerrilla Dispatch Volumes 1 and 2 is kind of a greatest hits of both Brush Beater and American Partisan. Volume 3 is going to be all fresh material, right? All fresh material that I think you're going to really, really enjoy. So with that said, folks, preview to the elections. Things ain't looking so hot, but hey, that's fine. Get out there. Get training, brushbeater.store/training calendar. You're going to find everything that we have. A lot of the courses are filling up. The end of July, I got a night vision course on tap. All right. You do not need night vision, by the way, to get in this class. You do not need night vision or thermal to get into this class. I'm going to be supplying the equipment to you. You're going to be doing everything from shooting to moving. Driving, and we're gonna have a heck of a lot of fun, you know, as we always do. Courses are up on the calendar. A lot of things are filling up, rounding out 2024. But I look forward to training with all of you out there. Again, all your equipment needs over at brushbeater.store. God bless, and I'll talk to you again very, very soon. NC Scout out.